Welcome to the latest Boone Pickens podcast. I'm Jay Rosser. I first went to work for Boone in 1990, helping manage his communications and public affairs initiatives. With me today is the man himself, Boone Pickens, and one of the sharpest political minds out there, Tom Seinhorst. Welcome to you both. Thanks. Boone, we're going to do several podcasts over the coming weeks that pull back the layers on your Pickens plan, which you conceived of 10 years ago this year.
The Pickens plan started July the 8th. We started out for an energy plan for America. Doesn't make any difference whether you're Democrat or Republican. It doesn't have anything to do with it. It's us, Americans, working together. But in the next 8 years, we are going to know more about energy than we've ever known before. What is the energy plan? Very simple. We've got to get off of the OPEC oil. That's it.
That's when we launched the plan. For a couple years before that, you were going around talking to people about your ideas, sketching it out. I remember being with you with Governor Pataki, for instance.
Yeah, that's when he was governor.
Yeah.
That's before he ran for president.
That's right.
Yeah.
So, you were the king of whiteboards and paper napkins. I remember briefing a Wall Street Journal reporter on the plan over at the Hay Adams. He had a white tablecloth there. He pulled out a little Sharpie, drew the plan, and he actually took the tablecloth with him.
That's right.
So once you had conceived this plan, and I'm going to briefly, for the viewers and the listeners out there, recount what the Pickens plan was. It was a plan you came up with to solve the OPEC oil addiction problem. And how were you going to go about that?
We were going to produce more oil than they did, or it would be a combination of natural gas, wind, solar, all of it. But we had plenty of resources in America, is what I thought. We didn't need to import. But let me take you back to 73. That's when you had the Arab embargo. And at that time, we were convinced, we, the United States, and it was the decision that was made at that time was not a goofy decision. It was a good decision. That we didn't have the oil, or we didn't think we did. We didn't have horizontal drilling and the
fracking.
Yeah, the fracking, and yeah, we had the fracking. We didn't have the horizontal drilling. Mm-hmm. That was a key to it. And so we proceeded not knowing that, but came up with it later. But the decision we came up to in 73 was that we're going to have oil from the Mideast. And we had to put the Navy in there. And we did. The Navy went in there. Fifth Fleet was there. Fifth Fleet was based out of Bahrain and all. And so this was all a real plan. And then going forward, well, we started to develop resources that we didn't realize we had in the United States. The United States is, it's the only one that has developed shale oil. We aren't the only ones that have it. I somehow see this as a great opportunity to pull America together. You are going to create a tremendous number of jobs out of this, tremendous number of jobs. And you're going to start to cut down today what we're paying out of our pocket every day. Is $1 billion for foreign oil. It's two-thirds of our trade deficit. Two-thirds of the trade deficit. So when you're gonna start reducing that, we're gonna stop this outpouring of money from the United States to around the world. We need to reverse that.
You would say when kind of whiteboarding out your plan, you'd say we haven't had a plan in this country for 40 years, so now 50 years. And boy, that was really true. We haven't had an energy plan. And I think that's what kind of ultimately frustrated you to the point of designing the Pickens plan.
Well, you had to get a plan.
Yeah.
That's what I kept saying. You got to have a plan. Yeah.
So I remember we
had gone around the country, stress testing it with everybody. And Boone, I'll never forget this, in March of 08 came to me and said, all right, we've got a great plan. Now what are we going to do to make it happen? And I said, here's what we're going to do. We're going to call Tom Seinhorst. One of the sharpest political people we know.
That's true. That's exactly what happened.
You know, I'll never forget that.
I said, can he find oil? He said, no, it's not an oil person. That's not what he did. I said, okay.
I'll never forget the meeting, though. I don't know what conference room it was in, but there were several of us in the room. You went to the whiteboard, drew your pie chart, started talking about the percentages of energy that we use in this country, where it comes from.
I told you, at that time, 44% of the power generated in the United States came from coal.
Yeah.
And I said 34% came from natural gas.
That's right.
And I said, that's got to change. It's going to happen. And it did happen.
And I remember the famous, there was kind of a dog-eared arrow that ended up with the energy kind of ending up with semis, long trailers, that you were going to use it for long-haul
trucking. Yeah, we did.
And save us. I think the number was around 38% or some huge.
Well, it was.
Percentage.
It could have been 38%, but I remember that we were going to do all trucking, long-haul trucking, would be done with natural gas. We can target 8 million 18-wheelers. That's the number of 18-wheelers we have in the United States. If we did this, let's say overnight, which we can't do it that quick, but let's say overnight, if we did 18-wheelers from diesel, foreign oil, diesel, and went to natural gas, this would amount to 2.5 million barrels of oil per day. So remember the 5 million that we're after, the 5 million barrels of oil per day is OPEC. We can, with this going to natural gas, we can cut OPEC in half on only 8 million vehicles.
So that day you were showing a group of us for the first time on a whiteboard this plan. And at the end of that you said, hey, now poke holes in this. What's wrong with this plan? And I just remember people around the room were kind of saying, well, is this true? Has this never been done before? Nobody else has come up with this. Who's the opposition? You know, we were asking you all these questions, but we weren't poking holes in the plan because the plan was just kind of amazingly clear.
Let me tell you another thing there. That was coming from shale oil, shale gas.
Yeah.
It was coming from shale gas. And at that point, before I could ever make that statement, that we were like page two on on natural gas reserves. It's before shale gas came into play. And when shale gas took off like it did in the basin, Pennsylvania, West Virginia, also North Texas, Southern Oklahoma, all of this shale gas showed up. Well, okay, what happened then? Well, we could now switch over our heavy-duty trucks, and half our oil being used was going to heavy-duty trucks.
Yeah. I remember that night you had me over to your place. It was just you and me. We were talking about whether or not we thought that we could turn this into a full-fledged campaign. And you asked me what I thought it would take just to get it done. And I remember you saying to me, well, we should run this like a presidential campaign.
We don't need any more talk. We need action and we need a plan. And it's got to be the top priority of the next president and the next Congress. I'm T. Boone Pickens. I've been an oil man my whole life, but this is one emergency we can't drill our way out of.
You know, that night, I think the strategy around building it in a way that the presidential candidates, this was 2008, Obama and McCain were the candidates. I think that night we said we should build it in a way that they come to us, that we don't go to them. And I think that, more than anything else, kind of framed how successful the campaign ended up being.
Just finished up 10 minutes ago with Governor Palin.
Hey, how are you?
I want
nice
you to know
again.
He's very interested in what I'm doing, and I think we'll have further conversations with her in the future about energy.
I remember we never reached out to McCain or Obama, but eventually they both, within a week's time, after we had started our advertising, and you'd had town halls where you had several thousand people showing up to listen to you speak about the Pickens plan.
Pickens plan, booyah!
They were contacting you. They wanted to get together with Boone Pickens. And I think that's just a testament to your vision around the plan, but also I think you were frustrated about giving money to political campaigns and kind of the deaf ear that they were.
Nothing ever happened.
Yeah.
But I can remember the Obama meeting, but I vaguely remember the
McCain meeting.
McCain meeting.
Well, so it was in.
It was in
Colorado.
Aspen, Colorado.
That's right.
Okay.
So you got it.
And but we met with Obama. Was in
Reno, Nevada.
Reno, Nevada. Yeah. Yeah, and there I never will forget that he was telling me about what he knew about the oil business, which wasn't very much, but he didn't take a long time, and he did listen to me, and he wrote notes down. I remember that, and I said, "Well, walk over here to the window," and I said, "You say something to me that is." It's somewhat foolish. And he was offended, seriously offended by what I said. And I didn't tell him what it was yet. And I said that you say you're going to have a million electric cars on the road within 1 year. In 10 years. 10 years you're going to have them on the road. And I said, look out this window. I said, if you look down on that parking lot and there's a million cars, it'd look like one hell of a lot of cars. He said, it would be a lot of cars. I said, there are 270 million cars in the United States. And he said, that's not very many, is it? I said, that's what I say. You don't know anything about the business.
I remember.
He was a senator then. He wasn't a president.
He was a senator.
I remember what I remember most about that meeting was, one, it was a 3x3 cardboard table with a white napkin cloth over it. The Secret Service were around us, and you pushed everything aside and you got out your magic marker and you started mapping the Pickens plan out on this tablecloth.
Yep.
And about, I don't know, 7 minutes into the presentation, no more than that, a Secret Service guy came up to him and he turned, Obama turned to him and said, is it time? And the Secret Service man, this is after 7 minutes, said, well, we're going to have to leave in 2 or 3 minutes. And you took your Sharpie and you put the lid on it and you said, well, if that's all I've got, then
you need to go right
then
now.
You should go right now. And
it was a little.
So I think he ended up spending 40 minutes there.
A long time.
It was a long enough meeting for you to get your message
out. But I never heard from him again.
Yeah, well.
But he did. He bought the natural gas trucks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He did.
T. Boone Pickens, who made his fortune in the oil business, and I don't think anybody would consider him unfriendly to drilling, was right when he said that this is one emergency we can't drill our way out of. We can't place our long-term bets on a finite resources that we only control 2% of, especially resources that's vulnerable to hurricanes, war, and political turmoil.
I want to back up a little bit, because I know, Tom, we talked a little bit about Boone presenting the plan to you. I remember a meeting in California where you and I had a conversation after you had been presented with the plan, and we clearly wanted your help. And you came up to me and said, let me ask you a question. Is Boone serious about this? And I said, he's dead serious. And you literally committed then a year of your life to help guide this plan. Hmm.
Yeah, you know, it was interesting. We knew from the
beginning.
It was a good
plan.
Oh, it was an awesome plan, and you were an awesome leader. So it doesn't get any better than that in politics. You and I discussed with Jay and others the need for it not to be partisan, not to be viewed as partisan.
Yeah.
You know, you and I had come from Republican politics, and we wanted to put together a team that was bipartisan. And so we were able to do that. And,
yes, but we purposely stayed away from partisanship,
right.
and but it didn't get fuzzy or anything else.
No, it sure didn't. So that building the team was great because we, Bob Gogarty, who became a good friend of yours, and Joe Slade White and Peter McCollum and their team, Democrats, Amy Weiss, obviously, on the Democrat side, and then we did the same thing on the Republican side, Jason Huntsberry and Heather Lauer, and you know, it was just a great mix.
Jeff Bailey.
Jeff Bailey, you bet.
When's the moment for each of you that you knew you had captured lightning in a bottle? You knew this was an actual movement that had started?
I'll tell you mine.
Okay.
So we went.
I bet it's the same one.
It could be. We went to Nebraska for a town hall meeting, and I forget the name of the town, but it was a small town, and it was a roadhouse inn that was outside this small town. And we drove up, and people were lined up outside the building. The building was full, packed. Cars for seemed like miles. That's when I knew.
My moment was in Topeka, Kansas. Very similar experience. And I actually had somebody who could not get into the hall because the crowd was so big yelling at me, "You need to get TVs out here." I thought, hey, we're on to something.
That wasn't when I got it. No, I started with the ingredients. And I had used it so many times, I said, natural gas is a better fuel than diesel is. It just is. It's cleaner, cheaper, and it's ours. The United States had plenty of natural gas. And I said, if I can't sell cheaper and cleaner and domestic fuel, I said, I ain't much of a salesman. And did I sell it? Part of the way.
No, I'd say more than part of the way. I think you reshaped our energy landscape forever. I mean, that's my view, and I don't think we're the only ones saying that.
Well, if we had reshaped everything, it would have had natural gas trucks in greater quantity than they have been.
Well, in greater quantity, but it is happening, right?
It's happening.
And you see companies like AT&T who've taken their whole fleet now and turned it to natural gas, and same with other big companies that are looking at it.
You got FedEx is very, they're not moving real fast.
But they're doing it.
They're moving. And and you've got, what's the other hauler?
UPS.
UPS, yeah.
Waste management's moving.
But this is Boone personally meeting with these executives, with these CEOs, and making the pitch. And at least one that I sat in, the CEO said, "Well, I'm going to think about it." And then 2 or 3 months later, he got back and said, "Hey, I'm doing it. I'm only going to do it with 6,000 or 7,000." And then 3 years later, said to us, "Boy, that was one of the best decisions I ever made."
Yep.
You know, for him, natural gas was going down.
The fuel is superior. That's all there is to it. Everybody will agree with that. When you have everybody say, "Well, the fuel, the natural gas is better than diesel."
Yeah.
Well, whoops. Now you've got, what's the little car company, Volkswagen. They had to announce a year ago that they've been cheating on emissions. You saw that.
Yeah.
Then they were fined $15 million. Now there have been, I don't want to mention name, it's not, I don't, but there have been others that have also announced, well, they have too cheated on emissions. But this is all going to happen for the right reasons.
You know, we talked about this being almost like a presidential campaign, and it was. And a lot of people forget, Boone, that you launched this plan when you were 80 years old. And I'll never forget the Dallas Morning News doing a big story on you hometown.
How old am I now? 100 and...
How old do you look? You pay me to say this. You look 32.
32.
So the Dallas Morning News did a story on you.
I wouldn't have paid you to tell somebody that. I look 32. Okay.
So the Dallas Morning News did a story on you, and they quoted me, and my quote was, if you would have told me that at 54 years old I'd be struggling to keep up with an 80-year-old man, I'd have laughed at you. And that quote got printed. We got on the plane the next day, and you read that quote, and you said, am I really wearing you out? And I said, no, I'm doing fine. I just said that to make you look
better. Yeah, why did you? Oh.
Then you looked at me and said, all right, so you either lied to the Morning News or you're lying to me. Which is it? So,
and being an old reporter, he couldn't lie to the Morning News, not at all.
How many states did we end up going to?
And how many states did we not go to?
And we ended up with 1.7 million followers.
And, we did.
Yeah. I mean, it was amazing. Some states had as many as 50, 60,000 followers. You could really tell that when we went to...
Oh, we had it. I can remember number one was Texas.
Yeah.
And number two was North Carolina.
Yeah.
I could not believe North Carolina was number two.
Yeah. And that was, it was an amazing campaign and still is. It's still living, breathing, making a difference. So.
Yep.
Well, Tom, I want to thank you for your time. I want to thank you for all your leadership on this issue. Boone, obviously, thank you for letting us use your podcast to focus on this issue.
I have one thing to add. I'm in a sweater and you guys are dressed. You two still have a job. And I don't.
Thankfully.
I want to add something.
Okay.
It's been an honor for me to get to work with you. And I've told you this before, but I want others to know it. It was the greatest professional experience of my life. And I feel like I made a really good friend in the process.
That's no question. So. But there were many friends made.
Yeah, there really were. Well, you were the
But I always work with friends. I mean, if you look at my offices in the past, I become friends.
Well, I'm honored to be one.
Good. Thank you. Thank you. Jay, you're the only one.
You're stuck with me. Thanks, everybody. Tune in to the next edition of the Pickens Plan podcast. For more information, go to PickensPlan.com or Boone's personal website, BoonePickens.com.